let me start again. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church at Sencre, so that you may welcome her in the Lord as is fitting for the saints, and help her in whatever she may require from you, for she has been a benefactor of many and of myself as well. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, we are in our second week of our Threshold series, and I have to tell you, I have been made fun of a few times with people saying, Mindy, you don't have to have a Lauren Daigle song at every single special Sunday or service, but I think we're about 5 for 5 at this point, so I feel really good about it. So thank you, Beck, and the team for leading us in that song, Kaleidoscope Jesus. I think it's such a beautiful picture of how God sees us and loves us. Will you pray with me as we go into our message today? Jesus, you are moving here in our church and even in our world when we sometimes struggle to see it. God, my prayer for us today is that we would be open to the way that your spirit is moving in us and around us. Jesus, maybe today you want to open a door to a place that we have never gone with our faith. Maybe today you want us to hear a truth about ourselves and the way you love. God, whatever it is, I pray that we could be open and we could receive, because God, we know you see us and you love us and you are right here with us. So Jesus, we pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to tell you that a couple of years ago, I did a funeral for a family, and most of the extended family that was part of this funeral was Catholic. And so this funeral was at the St. Luke's North Campus. It was a Methodist funeral, but again, lots of folks with a Catholic background in the congregation. And afterwards, when we were out in the hallway, we're doing the receiving line, this one man comes up to me, and he had the biggest smile on his face. He was so excited to talk to me. He came up, he gave me a big hug, he clasped my hand, and he said, "Wow, I didn't know girls could do that." And so I kind of just smiled, and I was like, where's this gonna go? What's gonna happen? And he said, "You know, I'm Catholic, and I've only seen men lead in church. So what do I call you? Do I call you mother?" And I'm like, "No, you don't." He said, "What about priestette?" Also, no. And so I laughed with this guy, and I told him, "You know what? Pastor is just fine. Pastor will work great." And we had this moment, and it was honestly super precious. Like, he was so sweet. He was so excited. He was just encountering something that was totally new to him. And so I loved this moment that we shared together. But it probably won't surprise you that I've had a lot of moments like that in my ministry as a woman who serves as a pastor. And sometimes they are precious and heartwarming like that. Sometimes they are very awkward. Sometimes they're not as great. Sometimes they're even a little bit hurtful or painful as people try to work out, okay, this isn't what I expected. This isn't something I've seen before. What do I do with this new thing that I'm experiencing? And I know that some of you here have had that experience in faith communities in your own way. It may not be because you're a woman in ministry, but it might be for a whole variety of things. I mean, some of you have been in conversations and situations where it has been crystal clear to you that because of who you are, because of your gender, your sexuality, pieces of your story, that those things are not welcome or affirmed in the spaces you find yourselves in. And I know some of you have traveled an awfully long road with your faith. Some of you today might even be here trying to decide, "I don't know how much longer I can stick with this thing called the church, because I've tried, I've put myself out there, and honestly, I'm tired." I get that. And I think there are so many reasons that you and I can start to believe that we aren't worthy of being in this space. We can believe that the things that God has called us to do, that we can't live into that call because of who we are or how we live or what we know or who we say we are. And I think as a pastor, one of the things that breaks my heart the absolute most is I know the church has been a huge part of those narratives. I know that so often the church puts up barriers and boundaries and hurts people all in the name of being holy. But today, as we look at the second week in our Threshold series, the thing that I feel so convicted about is that no matter who we are or what our stories look like, I think God has a bigger and better hope for us. I don't think it has to be that way, where the church keeps people out, where the church hurts people, where the church says, you don't belong. And I believe that for you and for me, that we have to move beyond the barriers that exist to live into the things that God is calling us to do. And in our scripture today, we see Paul doing this for a woman named Phoebe. Now, Phoebe was a deacon, which is what my ordination is, so it's kind of cool that we're reading this scripture today. And she was the first woman that Paul refers to as a deacon in the New Testament. And she was working in a church in Cenchreae, which is an important port city in the region of Corinth. Now, you may have heard of Corinth before, right? Because there are books in the Bible called 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And these are letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to churches in the area of Corinth. So back then, Corinth was really important. It was an important place of trade and commerce and life, but it was also an important place in Paul's ministry. And so Phoebe's in the middle of it all. She's a woman, she's serving the church, and she is a ministry partner to Paul. And the reason Phoebe comes up in this letter that we're reading today, which has nothing to do with Corinth, this is a letter to the church in Rome, but the reason she comes up here is that most people think she was probably the one who took Paul's words to the church in Rome to that church. So she shows up, she's got the message that Paul has given her, and essentially she is ready to read it to the church. She is ready to preach. And Paul knows that that might be an obstacle. Paul knows she might be someone who people don't expect to show up. She might be someone who's been told, you can't do those things in this setting. But Paul believes in her. And it matters to Paul that she's received with safety and respect. And he wants the church to know that, church, this Phoebe person, this is someone I trust. And I want you to trust her too. Now, before we go on, I'm going to go ahead and address my favorite elephant in the room right now, which is that we're talking about Paul and women in ministry. How many of you feel some tension with that? Okay, I know I do. I know some of you are hearing me talk about Paul and you're thinking, I don't know. I don't know if I can get on board with this because Paul has been the part of the Bible that has been used to tell me I don't belong. Paul has been the thing to discredit my call. Paul has been the thing that has been used to discredit my identity. And I just want to tell you, I get that. Because for the longest time, I struggled with Paul. Like you, some of you know, I love the Bible in the nerdiest way. I just got commentaries instead of a spa treatment. Okay, like it's a thing. I love the Bible, but I would get to Paul's writing in the New Testament and I would just struggle. Because I didn't know what to do with what he says or what some of these verses have been used to do. But I think the thing that we have to remember today as we read these verses about Phoebe and as we think about Paul's writing in general is that Paul was writing letters. Paul was writing letters, and I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but those letters were not addressed to Mindy Moore, and they were not addressed to St. Luke's Midtown. They were not addressed to us. Paul was not thinking about us and our lives in 2023 when he wrote these letters. He was thinking about churches that he dearly loved. He was thinking about people doing ministry that he wanted to take care of. And every single one of those places was a different context and a different setting and had different issues. I want you to think about your journey to get here to this church today. Think about how many churches you passed. Now, if you're like me and you live four blocks away, your answer is, I came to this church and this church only. But pretend like you're driving down Meridian Street. How many churches would you see? There are so many churches just here in our Midtown neighborhood. And if someone came along and said, I want to care for these churches, I'm going to write letters to them, I'm going to encourage them, maybe even challenge them. You want to know something? All of those letters would be as different and unique as the churches around. So that's something I want us to keep in mind with Paul. Because I know Paul gets a bad rap, and I've been guilty of giving Paul a bad rap myself. I've been in that place. But I know he gets a bad rap for being anti-woman, anti-gay, anti-maybe just fill in the blank. Like a lot of us, that's how we've heard these writings used. But I want us to look maybe not at what Paul was against, but what Paul was for and who he was for. And that comes out not only in this text, but in so many pieces of Paul's writing. I know he's complicated, but when I look at the bigger picture of who Paul was, and I think about what he was for, I see a person who loved Jesus. I see a person who loved the church. And I see a person that wanted to empower people in churches to live the ministry God had called them to do. We actually see this come up over and over again in his writing. If you look further into scripture, you'll see that this affirmation of Phoebe, it's not the only time he lifts up a woman in ministry. I'll show you Philippians 4, 2 through 3. He says this. He says, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche, your welcome scripture readers, that you didn't have to do that one today, to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel. We see Paul writing here again, and he's saying, I have worked with these women. Something's going on in this church. There is some kind of conflict, but he says, these women are such an important piece of what we're doing here. And over again, we see that. I mean, we see it with Phoebe. We see it with these two. We see it with more people. There's Lydia in Philippi. There's Priscilla in Corinth. Women were an essential foundation to this new thing called the church that Paul was building. But it probably won't surprise you that even though they were important, there was pushback even then, just like there's pushback today. So several years ago, some archaeologist found a cave painting in the city of Ephesus, Ephesians, another letter that Paul wrote. And this painting is of Paul and a female leader named Thecla. Now, if you look at this painting, there you go, you can see what they did to the image of Thecla. Someone scratched out her eyes and someone scratched out her hand. And I look at this and I think, even though whoever did this saw these two people as equals, it was too much. It was too offensive for some people. And Paul knew that that was the world he was living in as he was building the church, and he was trying to build other people up in ministry. And you know, as complicated as his writings can be, it's a big deal that he did this. It's a big deal that he used his authority to try to lift unexpected people up into what God wanted them to do. And when I think about us in our own context, sometimes we need someone to do that for us. We need someone to come along and say, I see you. I see your gifts. I see that God has called you. I see that you can do the things that you have never thought that you can believe. We need someone to use their voice for us, or maybe we need to be that person who can use our voice for someone else. And I just wonder today, have you ever had someone do that for you? Or have you ever been privileged to do that for someone else? You know, this kind of advocacy is a huge part of my story. It is a huge part of why I'm standing here today, why I have this stool, why I'm doing anything resembling ministry. And for me, this advocacy came from a place that I never would have expected. I felt my call to ministry when I was in college, and I was at a campus ministry that absolutely did not affirm women in ministry. I mean, it was the kind of situation where when a woman would do what I'm doing right now in church, it was called speaking. or teaching. It was not referred to as preaching. So that was the situation. And when I found myself feeling called to ministry, I didn't know what to do with that call. I didn't know how that was going to be received. I had this campus pastor who I knew loved me and cared for me, and I wanted to tell him about it, but I thought he was just going to say, well, you're a woman, so you're kind of out of luck. But I felt the Holy Spirit prompting me, and I went to him, and I was so amazed when he looked back at me and said, you know what? Then I think we need to get you an internship here, and I think we need to start talking about how to get you to seminary. You know, when I think about him and what he did, and I think about our ministry now, I think I can guarantee you without a doubt that we are so different on so many theological issues. I mean, we could probably sit here and have a great debate right in front of you today. But I will never forget that he did that. I will never forget that he crossed over a barrier in his own heart and maybe his own setting to make a way for me in my calling. When I felt unqualified, he was brave enough to say, actually, maybe you are. And because of the fact that someone did that for me, that's the kind of pastor I want to be in my own ministry. That's the kind of church I want to create. I want to create a space where no matter who you are or what your story looks like, that you can show up here and know your gifts are validated. Your personhood is validated. Who you are doesn't have to jump through 37 hoops to feel accepted. You are loved by God. You have a calling on your life, and that is true, full stop. That is what I think our call as a church is all about. And I think if we do that, we're actually just living out what we see in the Bible all the time. You know, I hear people talk about the Bible, and I hear us talk about, well, the Bible puts up so many barriers. The Bible's all about who's in and who's out. But you know what I see in the Bible? I see story after story of Jesus using people who never would have been used in the first place. And so if you're sitting there today and you're thinking, I don't know if my call, if I can do anything with it. I don't know if I have a place here. I don't know if I can ever belong in a church or a faith community. I guess I would just tell you that you're in good company. You're in the company of someone like Deborah from the book of Judges. I don't know if you've read her story, but Deborah was a woman who took an army of men and led them into battle, and guess what? They won! They won, and that didn't happen, but Deborah was brave, and she had gifts, and she heard God telling her to do something, so she stepped up and did it. You're also in the company of people like Jesus' disciples. You know, Jesus' disciples were just really simple fishermen. They didn't have formal education. They weren't trained in the temple or in religion. But we see them after following Jesus for years. They show up in the book of Acts with these religious leaders, and they start teaching them. And guess what? Everyone gets really mad about it. Like, people don't appreciate that these men showed up with no education, and yet they can't deny that the Holy Spirit is at work in a way that they've never seen before. I'd even go so far as to say, if you're wondering these things about your life and your call, you're actually in the company of someone like Paul himself. Now, I know we talk about Paul all the time. We read Paul all the time. But Paul's origin story is a mess. I mean, his name was Saul. He killed Christians and got paid for it. Everything about who Paul was in his past should have disqualified him from starting a church or leading a church or even being within like 50 feet of a church. Like, Paul was not a great person. And yet, the power and the impact of his ministry shows us that sometimes God shows up and does what only God can do. So I just want you to know, if you feel like you're not qualified, if you feel like there is something in your life that gets in the way of what God is inviting you to do, if you're just not sure, you're in good company. And I just wonder, have you ever thought that maybe you have a call and a story that only your life can tell? You know, someone who I think does is our worship leader, Beck Buchanan Schwanke. They have this story and this call that I know has opened up the doors of the church for so many people, and I would say probably so many people in this room today. And so I want you, as we get ready to wrap up today, to hear them tell their story of their faith and their call to ministry in their own words in this video.
The start of my faith started when I was probably in my early childhood, just attending church with my family. And I was involved in all of the musical aspects that came with being in Sunday school. What took me away from my faith was when I was in middle school, coming out of the closet. My youth directors told me constantly that I was going to hell and that I was sinning just because I was gay. After middle school ended, high school started, and I was able to join the adult church choir, and I felt like 16, it's the right time. I feel close enough to God now. I know that this will take away whatever sin that I have caused to other people. I'll get baptized and everything will be okay. And then I started serving on a regular basis in the church choir, and that was the best thing that probably happened, and it brought me back to God. But all the adults in the church choir, they were like, well, this isn't okay. You're gay. So I just stopped going to church after high school. I just knew it was over for me. I've always wanted to be a worship director, and that was like my lifelong dream. But when I came out of the closet, I knew that that was never gonna be in the near future. So then I got with my now wife, Kristen, and Ellie, and we started searching for a church, because sitting next to my wife in a church service and getting all the eyes, I can't hold her hand because everybody is looking at us. And I'm like, okay, we need to find somewhere where we can feel accepted, where we walk in the door and we feel like we're wanted, and we want it to be along, like we belong. So we all started to go to different churches, and we'd get in the car and we had a rating scale of 1 to 10. We went to St. Luke's. Eric was the first person we saw with a bow tie, welcoming us up into church. We sit down, we're holding hands, and the announcement said, you belong here. And then we just both looked at each other and we're like, this is different. Nobody's staring at us. I'm able to put my arm around you while we're worshiping. And then we got in the car and Ellie said, okay, I'm just gonna say it, that was a 10. And then we just started to attend after that. The rest is history. I made lifelong friends, and Mindy asked us to be a part of this vision of Midtown, and now we're like a thriving church and a thriving community with people who are just like me. I feel every single time we start a church service and I see people who are hurting out there, and then once I open my mouth and I start singing, God just bless them, and you can see it in their face. And I get it after every service. I needed that today. Thank you. But I don't think people realize how much of an impact that is on me. And that's God blessing me, for reminding me that I'm blessing the people around me every day. I'm Beck. I'm a worship director. My pronouns are they, them. A queer worship director at an open, inclusive church. I never thought in a million years that I would be able to say that.
Well, you all can just stay standing. We're going there. I previewed this so I wouldn't cry a ton, but it didn't work, so that's fine.
I mean, I talked.
You talked, you're fine. But I want to say that the ministry that Beck is doing, the ministry Kristen is doing at this church, is just one of the ways we get to see God move. And, you know, when I think about the way that these two people are called, I just think it is such a beautiful example of what happens when people in churches say yes. And when we take down those barriers and we affirm the gift.